Welcome here, and I'm so glad that the smoke here in Vancouver is subsiding. It is a little bit better than what it was. Yes, I'm a sinner, and I was going to have a title here as Warfare. And I'm sure you've heard many people say, well, I've been a good person and I don't deserve to go to hell because I haven't done really that bad things and I think God will accept me in heaven. Yes, is that a lie from the enemy? That's what we're going to cover today. Do you think the Bible tells us how to disengage with our enemy? And how do we really identify sin in our lives? And I would like to start by looking at Luke 5. Now here's Simon Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus already called him and said, come and follow me. And then during this episode, it says, when Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Go away from me, Lord. So he fell at Jesus' feet. Now, as Christians, we still have to fully grasp how to stand on the promises of God and how to release that supernatural power that God has given in us and that it's working through us. And instead of being weak, the body of Christ need to be strong. And let's find out how. Let's go to the scripture. Prayer is more than asking. Prayer is more than receiving. Prayer is more than thanksgiving, and it's more than praise. It includes all of this, but let the Bible guide us into a deeper understanding of the truth. Let's go to the next, what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Do you think that this is a dark world that we live in? Powers against this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul is addressing the same thing here. Lord, I think that I'm not like this sinner over there. Guilt-ridden and bewildered, I'm so unworthy, God doesn't love me. And that is happening at the moment in our lives. It is clear that the body of Christ, or the church, is in conflict with spiritual forces. That's what the Bible tells us. And it's working hard against us to destroy us. Just look around you. What do you see? Do you see harmony and peace? Now, where are these spiritual forces? Paul describes that we face it on a daily basis, in our homes, at work, neighborhoods, our family. Most of us have never been to war. I don't know anyone here that has been to a war. But do we know that if a country is being attacked and that country doesn't even know who the enemy is, that's a great disadvantage for that country. And if the enemy has a secret place within that country, then that country is in even in bigger danger. For us as God's people, we are going through the same unnoticeable warfare that is taking place, where Satan has got a little bit of a stronghold in us, and Satan has this unnoticeable piece of real estate in our minds. Yes, real estate that he occupies, and he strikes just at the right time when we are most vulnerable. Let's go further down. Let's page to Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. For all the Lord's people? I thought that we've been protected under the wings of Jesus. Pray for the Lord's people. Yes, we read this. There's a roaring lion walking around us. Now, I grew up in the bush in Africa, and I know what does that mean to be in danger in that bush. So for me, it makes a lot of sense to be aware of this roaring lion. Yes, and he has a piece of property there within that place that we are talking about. We also read that as ambassadors of Christ, We must fearlessly make known the gospel of the good news to other people. But how can I spread the gospel if there is a roaring lion out there? I'm scared to speak to people. We might say, yeah, but we do get strength, not because of ourselves, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, that's true. But there is more to it than that. What is a stronghold? Let's just look at that. The Bible says Satan is the father of all lies. And if Satan can get us to believe a lie about ourselves, about God, or about other people, yes, that is a problem, and he takes advantage of that lie that is sitting within us. We heard last week that we must not judge. I don't know if you can remember. Turn your minds back from last week. We cannot judge. Let me ask you a question. How did you make out this week? You mean you did not judge anybody during the last 7 days? There are many strongholds in our minds. We are judgmental, yes. We are short-tempered, yes. We're jealous, we are resenting. We grieve with lust, with bitterness, with rejection, with poor self-image. And that creates a divided mind. Can you think of any other shortcoming in your life at the moment? There are too many to name. I just named a few. You can search your own mind and see what is a shortcoming there where Satan has got a stronghold. Now, Satan has tested each one of us to some or most of these things that I've just mentioned. And we think we're strong, but somehow Satan finds a crack in that wall, a high brick wall that we put around us, but Satan finds a crack to penetrate that wall. And he's waiting patiently to find out where is our weak spot and how strong are we really. Now many of us say, but I'm doing good not to sin. So many, yeah, I'm doing good not to sin. But let's see what 1 John 1:8 says. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. Yes, what did Jesus say? Those that are without sin pick up the stone and throw it first. Satan's temptation will continue, and he will soon find out where is our weak spot and how to present a subtle lie for us to believe. Satan will continue to present that lie until we finally accept that lie in our lives. And that's the stronghold that creates a divided mind. And that big brick wall will fall down. What is Satan's ultimate objective? Have you ever thought of that? What is Satan's ultimate objective? That is to deceive us, the same as what he has done with Adam and Eve in the garden. He knows that we want a relationship with Jesus, and he's searching for an error in our lives, in our thinking, in a spiritual area that we do not fully understand, so that he can deceive our minds and divide it. Satan loves a mind that is divided, and he will use this little real estate that he's got in our minds that he occupies to divide our minds. That's the stronghold that I'm referring to that Satan has in a very subtle way. Give you an example. Is there a person in the church or outside the church that irritates the heck out of you that you cannot stand? Now, when Satan finds that out, he will push that wall until it collapses. Then you realize your shortcomings, and then you feel guilty. That's when Satan starts accusing you and condemns you that you are a failure, and God is disappointed with you, and you will not go where you are planning to go. That's deceiving from the Satan, that stronghold. He says, you are a physical being and you have lost your spiritual way, individual. God is punishing you because God is disappointed with you, and that is why you are suffering. Can you relate to this? Is that why you are suffering? Because God is disappointed with you? Just ask me if I disappointed God, but you need a whole day for me just to unpack what all the things that have happened. Satan knows that a divided mind will stumble very quickly. And Jesus warned us when he walked the earth, a house that is divided will not stand. And that also applies to your mind, a divided mind. Yes, here's another question. Does God know our shortcomings? Can we ask, God, where were you when I stumbled? And what's the answer? Before you had that problem, God already had the solution. Yes, God knew we will disappoint him sometime in our lives. So our loving Father cannot be disappointed. We condemn ourselves because we think about and we concentrate on Satan's condemnation that what he told us. We should rather go to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. I cannot fight this battle alone. I cannot fight this battle alone. Help me. Why do I say it? Because Matthew 5, Jesus' words in Matthew 5, 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're poor in spirit. Help me, Jesus. Yes, help me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where we have to go. God never condemns us as his children. He wants us to grow and strive and overcome this world. But he also knows that we will occasionally stumble. This physical life is training ground. I keep on telling the students and my children, this is training ground to build godly character and to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. But there's also a warning, a very clear warning that Jesus gave us. Let's go to Mark 13:22. False messiahs and false prophets will appear. Do you know some of them? Yes. They will perform miracles and wonders in order to deceive even God's chosen people, if possible. Deceive God's chosen people. That's you and me. Yes, he will deceive us because it is like a wolf hiding in sheep clothes. We know that so well, and that's exactly what Satan is trying to do. He's hiding there between the sheep. Satan will continue to tell lies to tempt us, accusing us that we've lost our way and not good enough for God's kingdom. He says we might as well give up our spiritual life, and unfortunately, so many Christians believe that lie. This lie is about the war in our thinking. It's a warfare in the spirit. And it will never stop until Satan is removed. Many times this lie has been programmed in our minds from youth at a very early age. Let's look at some of that. It is involuntarily, that programming, and Satan loves it. It can be from school teachers. It can be from our friends when they bullied us. I was bullied. It can be even from our parents that plant negative things in our minds, like saying, you will never become anything in life or achieve anything good. Now, those accusations will linger in our mind and Satan will use it over and over. And those negative lies become a reality as we grow up. Depression sets in. Suicide tendencies crossing the mind of those people. And then I searched the web. Here's a whopping figure that I could not believe. You can key it in on Google. How many people committed suicides from the Golden Gate Bridge in California? 1,500 people jumped off the bridge to commit suicide. It's incredible. And then I went further. How many people committed suicide in Canada? That's per year. How many do you think? 50? 100? Search it. 5,000 people commit suicide in Canada every year. That's incredible. That's the depression that Satan loves to work on. Can you think of a time when a bad thing was said to you and still lingering in your mind when you were little? Satan walks around searching for those things in our lives. Yes, and we believe those lies. That little involuntary condemnation that you were told when you were small, it can be used by Satan as a stronghold to push us into a divided state of mind. Yes, with bad consequences. And yet, we are totally unaware of it. There's also voluntarily strongholds in our minds. Let's go through a few. Have you ever heard this? I fear the worst is going to happen to me. The worst is going to happen to me. How about I cannot believe that I've done that? How about I've got such a short temper, my fuse is only this long and then I lose my temper? How about addiction to cell phone, to TV, to whatever out there, to drinking and to the flesh? Satan tests every one of these voluntarily beliefs and he occupies the small real estate in our minds and he will use it to make us believe, because he's the father of lies, to deceive us. Every stronghold or this lie in our minds starts with a thought. Then it moves into consideration. I'm considering doing this. Then it becomes an attitude. And with that attitude, it becomes an action or a habit. And this habit is a stronghold for Satan. And he uses that to deceive us. A stronghold is in an area of our lives that did not come just overnight. It didn't happen yesterday and now today we've been deceived. It has been lingering in our minds. It is a spiritual and continual spiritual warfare that we're going through. It could be a thought or a habit or something we say with a sharp tongue. That's an area of weakness in our mind. Satan is aware of this weakness and we have not completely overcome it. And he will use it over and over every time it pops up. Now Paul clearly said, now Paul was so close to Christ. Paul walked with Christ, talked with Christ, and he says, the good that I want to do, I do not do. That was Paul's words. You can go and look it up. Now if you're unaware of this stronghold of Satan, just ask a close friend or a family or a spouse. Sometimes you might even defend this weakness, as I have done so many times, this stronghold. You might even find excuses for hanging on to that weakness. And I say, well, I was born this way. Really? Do a test. Ask the person next to you if there's a person. Just stop for a moment. Ask the person, are there some words that I have said recently that really and truly hurt you? Look at the person next to you. I'm going to pause for a moment. I don't want to start a war, but that's the kind of thing that Satan uses as a stronghold in our minds. You can discuss this later, but you can admit, yes, there's something that I do, something that I've said that really and truly hurts me. I do not want to start this war, but I'm trying to point out that we are all guilty of harboring a stronghold where Satan is waiting to confuse us, to deceive and to persuade us that we are not good enough to be called a child of God. You're not good enough. You're not a child of God because you keep on sinning. You cannot enter his kingdom. But there is good news. What's the good news? God has forgiven us through the blood of Jesus on the cross, the past, the present, and the future for our sins. And when we come to God, just like the prodigal son that Jesus told us, and we repent, we ask for forgiveness, he knew that we will sin, and he will forgive us. He is faithful to forgive us. Because Jesus says to Peter, don't forgive just 7 times, but 70 times 7. And God will do the same with us if we repent and really and truly try to overcome. God will do the same. Yes, He only condemns Satan within us. He condemns Satan's attitude, that stronghold within us. He's trying to break that relationship between us and Jesus. God knows our potential. Yes, God knows our potential. And we want to achieve that by the power of the Holy Spirit, only if we ask. And if we ask, yes, He will help us. Because that Spirit was poured into our hearts. You and me contain that power of God. Yes, and Satan is trying to prevent it. Now, how do we eliminate this stronghold or this habit in our lives? How do we do that? That wolf that is waiting there between the sheep, how do we eliminate it? Let's go to Mark 8:33. Look at this. Get me behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. That's what Jesus told Peter. Jesus rebuked Satan within him. Right there, Peter realized what he has done. Yes, the concerns of God. Yes, it says the concerns of God in Mark 8:33. The concerns of God. That's what God wants us to understand. He is condemning Satan working in us, and we have to realize that. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a reality for every believer walking on this earth. This training ground that we're going through. But the good news is that the Bible directly addresses how to engage our enemy, Satan, so that we will emerge victoriously. What did Jesus do when He was tempted? He quoted the scripture, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Straight from the Word of God. It is written. Let's go to, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yes, it's there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4. We live in this world. Yes, we live in this world. But we don't fight our battles in the same way the world does. The weapons we use are not human ones. Our weapons have power from God and can destroy the enemy's strong places. Where's that strong place that Paul is talking about? Right here within us. That's where Satan has got that stronghold, and he's waiting patiently for us to use that against us. Yes, Paul, how to receive and use the power of God is through the Holy Spirit. Now we know David, a man after God's own heart, and we know what he has done, and look what he has written for us to recite. "Search my heart, O God, and see if there's any iniquities in me. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness." Look at that again. "Let me hear joy and gladness. Yes, search my heart, O God. I want to hear joy and gladness. Let me name something else that is very powerful in our lives. Your life, my life, every human being has this thing, the tongue. Yes, let's go to Matthew 12:36. "You can be sure that on Judgment Day, everyone will have to give account of every useless word that they have spoken, ever spoken." This shocked me. Every useless word they have ever spoken on Judgment Day. I really have to think of those words in my life. Now Jesus says, we shall worship God in truth and in spirit, with a pure heart. Yes, with a pure heart. With heartfelt prayers. But we have to ask for help. Let's go to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10 and 11. Build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you. So we get our power from God so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's tricks. The devil's tricks. That's what we're up against. I encourage you to go and read all of Ephesians 6. But it also says, he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. That is encouraging. And Jesus gave us a perfect example. Here in Luke, that's a spiritual warfare. Here in Luke 18:13, Jesus is talking to the crowd, teaching us about prayer. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. That's what Jesus taught us to do and to say. Yes, we have to go back to God's word. The Bible tells us how to disengage ourselves from that stronghold in our minds, that enemy. We can identify him if we read the instruction book, the Bible. It is very clear how to recognize sin and how to overcome it. Thank you and amen. Let's pray. Our majesty God, you're an awesome God, you're a loving God, you're a God of grace, and that's why we come before the throne of grace. Because you have brought us to this throne of grace. We stand before you at the feet of Jesus. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, not because of ourselves, of what you have done. And we thank you so much for it. We thank you that we can connect over the airways to connect with you and together with all the people of God. Father, there's so much happening in this world around us that we cannot even keep track of all the things. But we can recite the words of Jesus, deliver us from the evil one. For to you belong the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. And you want us to focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. When we read your word, we realize that we cannot fight this battle alone. We need your help. Therefore, we ask, Holy Spirit, work in us mightily through us to fight the good fight of faith that there is in Christ Jesus. Father, we also pray for the body of Christ. We pray for the church leaders this weekend. Millions of people will come and listen to your word. Let them speak as you have spoken through them by your word. Your word is the truth. We also pray for the children of God, the church, around this globe. Help us to be a lamp in this dark and lost world and bring the good news of love to the people that we meet. We want to walk with you, Jesus. We want to talk with you, Jesus, and build a deeper relationship with you. But we can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, please take us by the hand and lead us on this narrow road that leads to the kingdom of God. We are grateful for it. We're grateful for the blessings, and we love and we praise you. So we ask for your dismissal now on each and every one, and help us to remember what is written in your word, to recognize that stronghold of Satan. We ask it in Jesus Christ, the Son of God's name. Amen.